Hello, welcome back to another episode of Extra Features Movie Review Podcast. This is episode 302, and there could be spoilers. I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon.
I'm Doug, and I will admit I will definitely spoil the hell out of Nope.
Oh, so why?
And so. That's Frozen Simon.
I'm not frozen this time. Not frozen, just staying. I don't know what's going on. It's probably me in the basement. I looked into it, actually. I'm supposed to go to Best Buy and buy these thingies that plug into the back of my router. And then I'm supposed to go to the basement and put one in, and it's supposed to work. So I haven't done it yet, so that should fix my problems, I've been told. And I've always shoved into the basement. Unlike Doug, I don't get the whole house to record in, or Kevin, who gets the same space every time. I'm shoved in the basement. And what's weird is the router is right above me. So that's why I picked this spot, because it's right above me. But I have wood floors now. I didn't have tile. It doesn't go through very well. So I still have not bought anything nor watched American Hot Tub 2, but it will happen.
Oh, it'll happen.
So I have a question. Do you guys have this problem that I have? Probably I'm the only one I know has this problem. So I get up, I can't sleep in the summer. I sleep about six, maybe six and a half, sometimes 7 hours. Doesn't matter. I get up, I get dressed. Well, I'm up now. Nobody else is up in the house because it's summer, so nobody needs to go anywhere but me. My wife's off, my kids are off, just me has to go to work. Fine. I get addicted to home shows. So I get up every morning and watch home improvement shows for about an hour before I go to work. Now, I'm getting to the point, there's people I've discovered I don't like. I've watched enough home, I'm like, what is going on? And now I've discovered that the people in Texas, I need them to get a divorce. Because I like one of them, and I don't like the other one, so I need one of them to go. But I like her design sense, so what should I do here?
Stop watching home improvement shows.
Love It or List It has got the same scheme every show. I'm getting to the point, I've watched enough of the like Property Brothers and all those that I know when the problem's going to go up. Oh, we're about time for the problem. And guess what? Next scene. Oh, you have a bathroom issue. I can start getting used to them. Yet they're still not my favorite. My favorite now are these bunch of people that build, like work on cabins and things or people's homes on lakes. And I need Doug to tell me if they're from Maine or New England. I don't know. I can't understand them half the time. I need subtitles. But they're my favorite. They all have beards down to here. Everybody has a beard. And even the women I can't understand sometimes. So they're my favorite. They're called Cabin Something. I don't know. I love them, but I haven't seen them lately, so I'm really annoyed because now I'm back to Chip and Joanne reruns, and they're bugging me. And they keep going, watch Chip and Joanne's cooking. No, I'm not watching a cooking show. This is the do-it-yourself network. Build something. That's what I'm here to watch.
I would recommend watching something called Forged in Fire on Netflix. It's about a bunch of knife makers. Competitions to make
anybody
knives.
That makes something, I can watch it because I'm never going to build a house, but I'm really into it now. I'm learning how to do things, shiplap and all this crap. I got
it's like the louder you get, the more frozen you get.
Shut up. I now know about shiplap and sliding doors. I'm rocking, trust me. Okay, now let's get into movies. Unless somebody else did something, nope, Kevin.
Kevin, did you see it? Nope.
All
right, so the first movie we'll be discussing is Nope, written and directed by Jordan Peele, starring Daniel Kaluuya, Kiki Palmer, Brandon Piera, Michael Wincott, Steven Yeun, and briefly, Keith David. I could probably talk about this movie for an hour.
Let's do it. I'll refute half of what you have to say right now, so let's go.
All right. I absolutely adored this movie. I'm sure there will be a time when Jordan Peele makes a movie I don't like. Hasn't happened yet. I absolutely loved how this movie It started off, it felt kind of slow to me, but then watching the second half, I saw how his script built. He was putting up all the dominoes in the first half of the movie, and then he knocked them all over, and everything came together by the end. The performances in this movie were universally good. Kiki Palmer, I thought, was she's a star in the making. She will take over the world someday. I could just go. I don't know where to go. My brain's going everywhere. Jaws is my all-time favorite movie, so I loved all the homages to Jaws in this film. One thing I want to point out is I don't think people realize how genuinely funny this movie is. Towards the end, Holst, the Michael Hancock character, starts singing Purple People Eater. And I have not laughed as hard in a movie theater as I have at that scene. I think the last time I laughed that hard was Jackass at the beginning of the year. I love this movie. Now I'll wait for Simon to see what he doesn't like, and I'll see if I could refute any of that.
No. At least you said my first word. That first hour of this film was torture for me. I'm like, oh, I'm watching Black Phone all over again, but better version of Black Phone. I'm like, where are we going? I got it. What are we doing? It is building. I get it. Actually, my favorite scene in the beginning is right at the beginning when they first introduce us to the characters. And Daniel Kaluuya is trying to speak and he can't. You know what I mean? And his sister has to come in. I kind of like, oh, is that where this is going? Nope. We're not going there. Okay, waiting. And then I started getting a little bit more into it when they did the outside horse scene, when they had the rodeo with the horse. That's when I started going, okay, I got it. I'm starting to understand this now. I got to say, I didn't really get it before that. I kind of had ideas. I'm like, well, maybe he's not going the way I think I am. I think the problem for me in horror, I like horror, but I like constant death. I love slashers. They're my kind of film. These slow, drawn out. I'm not saying this is a bad film. I'm not saying it's trash. It's just not going to be amazing to me. But I could have told you after the first hour that I'm not into this because it's just too slow. I know what I like. Kiki Palmer was amazing. Absolutely amazing. So was Daniel Kaluuya. I really like the last probably 30 minutes when the guy with the camera shows up. Mm-hmm. On the hill, I'm like, okay, I'm in. I get where they're going now. And I like that whole setup scene. And that whole scene of him trying to do what he's trying to do. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm in now. This, and the end was great. Absolutely enjoyed the end scene a lot. And I like the thing. Like I said, I don't like slow moving horror. So for me, it's just too slow. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not for me. And I mean, I'm not really a big horror junkie, as you guys know. I'm very much, I say slashers, and I really do mean slashers are my thing. Creature feature and slashers, that's what I like. But I know that. I think this is well acted. I think it's well directed. I think he's getting better, Jordan Peele, as a director. I think this is a vast improvement over Get Out. Get Out is still my favorite film of his, but I like his shooting better in here. I think he's starting to really frame shots better, I notice, especially when he wants the outside world. I think the shot framing is much better here. I think Get Out, he was going very too close all the time and not letting the film breathe. And maybe it was supposed to feel claustrophobic in Get Out, which we do by the end, of course. But this, I think he's opening it up more, and I think he's still giving you claustrophobic because I don't think he's supposed to escape that alien. And you don't know if he is. I got him full credit. I had no idea if he was going to do it or not.
Yeah, I also think that Jordan Peele is getting – I mean, I know Get Out is the one – his first screenplay. It's the one he won the Oscar for. I think he's getting better at writing screenplays too. My big complaint about Get Out is the Lil Ray Howard scenes.
Yes.
They are just there for comic relief. I think he's much better now at putting comic relief in the movies much more, not generically, but it feels like it should be there. in Us, the scene where Elizabeth Moss is stabbed and says, Siri, call the police. And Siri says, okay, playing fuck the police. That was hysterical. And it felt very, it felt like it would go there. The scene I mentioned earlier in Nope with Holst singing Flying Purple People Eater. That was hysterical to me. I love Peele's use of humor here.
Well, I want to go back what you were saying, but you got to remember, he came from sketch comedy. We wrote that first one. I mean, he's coming off just straight comedy. That's all they ever did.
Yeah.
So I could see why the little rail scenes just stood out, because that's what he was used to writing. So, I mean, I could see that. But here, I definitely think he's an excellent writer. I think a lot of studios are kicking their ass, not picking him up or giving him a chance at his first script. Yeah, I mean, I have nothing against him. Keep giving him more money. People obviously loving this stuff more than me, and that's okay. Because this is, I know it's not for me.
Yeah, this is my son Dylan's favorite movie of the year so far. He absolutely loved this movie. He said he wants to see on the Blu-ray if they do a behind-the-scenes thing of the designing of the alien. He wants to see where they came up with that and how that creature works.
I wanted more alien. I really did, because that's just what I like, though. I'm looking for that creature, so I wanted more. And I know this is not going to deliver to me, but I knew that halfway through that I wasn't going to get the movie I wanted. And that's fine. I think this movie is, for people that love it, I get why they love it. I have no issues with using The Return of Captain Invincible in the last show. I have a lot of issues with you loving it. But this one I get. I totally get it. I get why people like it. I get why people like Jordan Peele. I mean, I think the same audience that went to Black Phone is going to Nope.
Yeah, maybe even a bigger audience. I think Nope is probably doing better at the box office than Black Phone did.
I think so, but I think Jordan Peele has proved it with Us and proved it with Get Out that he can deliver.
Yeah, and I also think I love the way he used sound in this movie. I don't think I've ever heard a horse scream before.
No, I haven't either.
But that was disturbing when I heard it. I love the use of sound here.
Very good use of sound. And that run scene with Kiki Palmer is bust. No, Kiki Palmer has to run at the end. She's on the bike and then just that was well shot. I mean, I'm sure that wasn't a one-take run, but that would look good.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the other guy in the hill was going to get it.
Yes, I did too, but it's like Jaws. Quint Holt gets eaten by the creature, and you think that Hooper or Angel in this case is going to get eaten, but nope, they pull it off at the end.
And I like the last shot when they're in the town and they shoot the end to go out of the place.
And you see OJ in the mist.
Yes.
Yeah.
I thought that was kind of neat. I thought that was good. So I think this film's got a lot of just, it wasn't for me. And I have no issues in saying that, but I get why you love it.
Yeah, I absolutely adored this movie. It's definitely in my top 10 of the year right now. It's definitely number 2 for me.
But it's a long way from Where the Crawdads Sing, though.
Yes, Where the Crawdads Sing. Written by, based on the novel by Delia Owens, written by Lucy Alibar, directed by Olivia Newman, starring Daisy Edgar Jones, Taylor John Smith, Harris Dickinson, David Strathairn, and the reason I put this on the list is because I love Garrett Dillahunt, and he has a small role in this film. I know this movie was a big, huge novel when it came out. I'll be honest, that this movie, it was okay. It wasn't that great. David Strathairn, I think, gave a fine performance. He was doing the best he could. Daisy Edgar Jones, I thought she was good. Could have been better, maybe. Like I said, I love Garrett Dillahunt as the abusive father here. He had very little to do. The movie was just okay for me. The ending, I know people are like, oh, you got to see the ending to believe it. The ending I thought was good. I thought that was the one thing about this movie I could take away and say, all right, that went against my expectations, but that's about it.
I think I liked it more than you. I didn't love it, but I do thought I liked the story construct. I thought it was really well done. I really thought it moved. The lead was okay. I didn't think she blew me away, but it was intriguing to me because I didn't know who did it. And I was constantly thinking, who the hell did this? You know, and I was thought this person that I'm like, I don't know. I have no idea. And I really think she got played as the victim. I think they really showed that out. And like I said, I think the story, I'm going to get in trouble with my family if they hear this, a little basic. But my daughter loves this book, loved it. Her friend loved it. My wife loved it. Her the other day. So I don't think it's a guy book. Maybe it's more of a female perspective. But I thought it was solid. And I did watch it and have to fit it. Like, I wanted to know the end because my kids saw it before I did. So I had to go see it. And I could not figure it out to the very end. I was in shock at the ending. Absolute shock. I'm like, what? Did not see that coming. And I don't think there's any tell in the movie to tell us that.
No, there really was. That was the one thing. There really wasn't any clues to the ending.
Okay.
That I caught anyway, but maybe I just wasn't paying close enough attention.
No, because I asked my wife and she said there were none in the book either.
Okay.
But I mean, I thought that my favorite scenes were David Strathairn in the court was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. He just showed why he's the number one actor in this film. He is so good all the time and proves to me, Daisy, whatever, yeah, you can sit right back down. Just let David do his job. Now, the guy you're talking about, is that the dead guy?
No, Garrett Dillahunt played the father.
The guy father. From the Walking Dead show.
Fear the Walking Dead.
Yes, yeah. That's where I know him from.
Yeah, he's been in tons. He's one of my favorite character actors. So,
oh, yeah, he was fine. I did like how the story brought the brother back for the end.
Mm-hmm.
And I like how they did progression of time with the books. They kept going to the window and showing her writing more books and more books, more books. I thought that was great. And I really thought the reveal worked perfectly. When they finally show you who did it, blew me away. I was like, wow, okay, you guys win. I thought that was well done. I gave it a 6, which I don't think is an amazing score, but I think it's watchable. I think it was, for what it was, for teenage angst, I would call this, it was well acted. I still try to figure out how she bought so much gas to get everywhere. I could, how does she have so much gas?
Here's my question for you. What did you think of the Taylor Swift song? Because that was a big thing, that Taylor Swift wrote a song for this movie, probably her Oscar play.
I guess I didn't notice it.
Okay, fair. Neither did I, really. I'm not a big
fan. Oh, okay, because it wasn't
a fan.
When do they play it?
Probably over the end credits, I think. But
do they count? No, they have to be in the film. I thought the end credits don't count. It has to be in the film, though.
I thought it could be the first song on the end credits. I don't know what the rule.
I don't know either. So yeah. I didn't notice the movie. I don't think anybody from this film's getting nominated for screenplay or anything. Unless David Strathairn gets a best supporting nod for. Oh, and on side notes, as we're getting into this, did you notice that people are already starting to talk about Oscars? Have you been starting to see articles?
Because movies have been so bad this year.
I agree. They're already Michelle Yeoh. They're going on. I'm like, okay, I agree. Michelle Yeoh is going to get a nod, no doubt in my mind. But I haven't seen much else that I would really give it to. But like director wise, no, but nothing. I mean, Jordan Peele for Nope, maybe.
I've seen Maverick getting lots of word of mouth for like the technical stuff, cinematography. Right,
but there's no way they're going to nominate Tom Cruise for Best Actor.
No, but definitely, I think like the sound categories.
Oh, Maverick is going to get a nod for Best Picture. It's not going to win, but they're going to put it on the list. Hopefully, little Timmy and little Sally and whoever else that doesn't normally watch Oscars will watch it because Tom Cruise will be there. But I'm like, they don't know who Tom Cruise is, guys. Tom Cruise is an old man movie. Okay, moving on to a movie made me watch one and two, which yes. I heard amazing things about. So I actually knew of them. So my question is, how did you know about these films? Because they're very British.
I like movies, and I read a lot of movie news, and The Souvenir was talked about a great deal.
I know, I agree.
So I wanted to watch them. The Souvenir Part 1, written and directed by Joanna Hogg, starring Honor Swinton Byrne. The other big roles, I guess, are Tom, it's not in order here, Tom Burke and Tilda Swinton playing the mother of her daughter's character. So it's mother and daughter together here. That was the big thing. So what did you think, Simon, of The Souvenir Part 1?
Are we only doing Part 1?
Do you want to do both together?
No, because I like to do them. Okay. I think they're two distinct films.
Okay.
At least I felt they were two very different films.
Okay.
Like, I mean, obviously two has a lot to do with one. If you haven't seen one, two would not make a lot of sense to you, I don't think.
Yes, not at all.
So let's start with one. I did not like this lead actress at all. She really bugged me. I thought she was sloppy in the first one. I didn't like the filmmaking in the first one. I found they paused too long on shots. I thought it was dull production design. The script, I thought, was better than the film. Like, I really think a different director would have pulled some richness that the script does provide. But I really don't feel it's here. I don't know how many films this woman has directed. Is this only her first film? Maybe she's I don't know her.
She had done a few beforehand and actually sent a film or two to Martin Scorsese, which is how he came to produce this film.
Okay, well, I didn't like the characters in the first one. I couldn't get into it. I thought it was a big slog for me to get through. Again, didn't hate it. I didn't like the filmmaking. I didn't like the people. She annoyed me. Like, she just says stupid things and does stupid things. I'm like, I don't want to spend time with you. I compare this to Worst Person in the World. They should have been on the same show as far as I'm concerned. Because they remind me of the same person. I really think this is the companion piece to Worst Person in the World. Because I hated her. This one, I didn't get into her. I didn't believe what she was doing. I didn't feel she had the passion. And she kept giving him money. I'm kind of like, really? Can you stop giving him money, please? Because it's really bugging me. He's always hitting you up. And you're like, oh, here you go. Oh, here you go. And then when he dies, I'm like, she feels bad. I'm like, I don't believe you. I really do not believe you.
Okay.
You know, and I just like, I don't care he died. I'm just kind of happy this movie's over. Can we have more Tilda Swinton? Because I really like Tilda Swinton in this movie. But I love Tilda Swinton every time I see her. So that was my major problem with this film. I just tried hard. I thought it was sloppy.
Okay. See, I disagree with you, I'll be honest.
We knew that was coming.
I liked that this movie felt like a relationship movie filmed as a mystery. It felt more like a mystery to me. I actually liked Honor Swinton Byrne. I thought she was really good. But then at the end, when Tilda Swinton comes in and gives the speech about how he's dead, I was like, okay, mom's coming in and showing the daughter how it's done. She's taking over the scene and just totally owning it. I had to do a little bit of research on this because I wanted to see what the backstory was. Apparently, Joanna Hogg and Tilda Swinton have been best friends since they were 10 years old. They went to school together. And this is very much autobiographical take of Joanna Hogg's time in college. So actually, Tilda Swinton was the first person cast for this movie. And they couldn't find the right actress to play the Joanna Hogg character. And she was just over visiting her friend Tilda Swinton one day, and Honor came in and, you know, just to say hi to mom and mom's friend. And she's like, oh, I think you would actually make a really good, I think the character's name is Julie in this movie. And that's how Honor Swinton Byrne was cast. It was just happenstance. And I think she did very well. She felt very believable to me, especially the scenes with her mom. They felt like a real mother-daughter relationship there, because it was. They had that to go off of. I didn't really notice that it was a period piece. I didn't notice it was set in the 80s, except for the check writing at the restaurants. Aside from that, if you told me it was modern, I would have believed you. If you told me it was the 80s, I would have believed you. I really enjoyed this movie. I thought Tom Burke did a good job playing a guy who you could see why she would fall for him, but also see why he's no good for her. He was constantly asking for money. He had that one friend at the dinner say, oh yeah, he's a habitual drug user. You don't participate. And that was, I guess, her first sign that maybe he wasn't everything he said he was. And yeah, I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a very well-made film.
Well, see, that's why we have you on the show, Doug. We could just cross me and you over, we're like Ghostbusters, just hitting the screens constantly over. Okay, so we're going to move to Souvenir 2.
Yes.
And I got to say, I had like a revelation during this film. I love this film.
Well, this one was very meta. Knowing what you know about Joanna Hogg's life, or how she made the first movie as an exploration of college, this was a movie about making the movie about exploring her college relationships. Yeah, this one was – I think if you like the first one, you're going to like the second one even more.
Well, see, I didn't like the first one, but this one I liked it. This one I thought was much – I think they had more money. It looked like she had a little bit more money in this one. And I liked the storyline better. I definitely related more to these characters at this point. And I got into it more. I'm like, oh, I kind of like this one. And she went to visit his parents. I'm like, really? I had a little bit of problems with that, trying to buy. She would go see his parents. But she did, which was fine. But I liked her speech. I liked all those scenes. I did like this film much better than the first one.
Yeah, and I liked the exploration of her trying to figure out her relationship by making a movie about it, which is what Joanna Hogg did in the first one, explored her relationship by making a movie. I really liked the meta aspect of that. And again, I thought Honor Swinton Byrne gave a really good performance. I liked seeing Charlie Heaton in a British film where he could use his British accent and not have to do an American accent.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're going to watch these, you have to watch one to understand two.
Oh, absolutely. Because
I would just see Kevin sitting here going, oh, I'm going to watch two, and go, what the hell is going on? Because it's kind of like an inside joke. If you haven't seen one, you will miss half this film. Will make no sense to you in any way. No, I thought two was a better film. I enjoyed it much more. I thought it flowed better for me. I would honestly, I love the shot. You know the scene when she's making the film and they have the dolly track and she's behind the dolly track and everything is moving? I'm like, that is a great shot.
Yes.
Brilliant. I quite enjoyed that. I'm like, can I have a whole film just of that here? Because I quite liked it. Like I said, I enjoyed the theater. I much better for me. I think maybe she did in two what she wanted to do in one and just cleaned it up more for me.
I think she also had a little more time to like work on the script, because I think they were going to film part two immediately after filming part one, but then the COVID lockdowns happened. So I think she had a little more time to work on the script and make it that much tighter. And I think that really showed here. I think as much as I like the first part, I think the second part is a much better made film.
I agree with you. I didn't find – you're not going to hear the word sloppy. I thought it was tight. I thought it was better depth shots. I think she frames better in this. I think the characters are much more fleshed out. But that would be because I'm taking information from one that I know these characters. So it's easier for me to follow them in two. But no, I like two a lot better.
I think they do go together. I think if you watch one, you should definitely watch two.
Oh, absolutely. Now, I guess we're almost there. Kevin, are you the man from Toronto?
No. No. I am a man from Toronto. But
they're not the man from Toronto. No. Okay. Sorry, I got to say the right way. Toronto!
Yeah. See, if it was authentic, it would be Toronto.
Exactly, but that's not the way they say it in the movie.
No.
The Man from Toronto, written by Robbie Fox, Chris Brenner, Jason Blumenthal.
See, even Doug doesn't say it right.
I'm American. What do you want from me?
We're making fun of you. Well, I probably say Jersey wrong. Like, you never say New Jersey, do you? I'm from Jersey.
Yeah, I usually say I'm from Jersey.
Yeah, you never say the New Jersey, because I don't know where the old Jersey was. Must be in England or somewhere, because I have no idea.
Yeah, I think it's in England.
I've never heard of it. Okay. Kevin, did you watch Man in Toronto? No. No. Kevin skipped this. How do you not have time to watch movies?
Right,
watch
I'm eight, all the time. No, I travel.
You watch 8,000 crappy TV shows.
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, this was a pretty crappy movie.
Oh, terrible.
I don't blame anybody for not watching this.
I'd watch this over Interceptor again.
Oh. I wouldn't watch either. I'd rather watch Stranger Things season 4 again.
Okay. I think I told you why I have not watched Stranger Things. My daughter bugged the hell out of me that I hadn't watched Outer Banks. So the time I would have had to watch Stranger Things, I had to watch two seasons of Outer Banks, which I've now finished. So Stranger Things is coming, but I'm working on Kevin's Russian Doll thing he told me I had to watch. So I'm on episode 5 of that. So I will work on that this week. And when I finally finish that, I think Stranger Things is next to my list, even though they did put a crappy Resident Evil show on Netflix, and I kind of have to watch it.
But I've watched the first 3 episodes of that Resident Evil show, and I have not gone back for a few weeks or so.
I've seen every Resident Evil cartoon. I've played the games. I have a signed poster on my wall, so of course I'm going to watch a crappy Resident Evil show. Okay, Man for Trump. I'm done with Kevin Hart. Can somebody stop giving this man money for do anything? It's the same character again and again and again. Yeah, I can't do it anymore.
That's what Adam Sandler did at the beginning of his career. So why can't Kevin Hart?
Kevin Hart's been doing this for like 10 years now.
Man, look at the beginning of Adam Sandler's movies. Billy Madison, Mr. D, he's all playing the same guy.
I guess
I'm not saying I like the Adam Sandler stuff. I don't like the Kevin Hart stuff, but.
And I've had enough of Woody. Woody needs to go away too.
Well, that's the thing. It was originally supposed to be Jason Statham in that role.
But then
he dropped out and Woody Harrelson came in. I much would have rather seen Jason Statham.
Well, that's a problem. Jason Statham would have worked for me in this role. Like, yes. Perfectly. And you're telling me I get... Because Woody doesn't look right. Can't really do the moves right. And they kind of find they shoot around him what he can do and what he can't do.
Mm-hmm.
Same with Kevin Hart. I'm just like, enough. Like, how does somebody put up... Like, he's got this beautiful bride to me. Put up with his nonsense.
Yeah, the boxing without boxing like, or whatever.
Boxing without boxing? You're right. It does sound like an Adam Sandler movie.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like an Adam Sandler premise. But people trash Adam Sandler, but Kevin Hart's okay. I'm like, no. No, he's not. He is a new Adam Sandler. He's exactly the same as that. You're right. There's no difference between the two. They both make crappy movies continuously. Even though I liked Adam Sandler and Hustle. I did enjoy, even though it was pretty predictable, but I did enjoy Hustle. Is there anything to say about this other than some stupid explosions of dumb criminals That chick that kept phoning him, who I love, and I can't remember her name off the top. Ellen Barkin.
Ellen Barkin. Okay.
Why is she here?
I don't know.
There's a show. I got sidetracked again. I've seen two episodes of the new season of Flight Attendant. I think I've watched two or three of them.
I've only watched the first season. I haven't gone into the second season. I didn't love the first one.
I did. I really liked it. My wife gave up, but I still love it. But not because it doesn't matter. Kelly Coco, I'm fine. At least I find she could do a bit better acting than most of the people in the film. She was actually not bad.
I did not get the end credits when Woody Harrelson's character calls in on live TV to threaten Kevin Hart's character. I forget everybody's name, so I'm just calling them by the actor's name.
So am I, because I can't remember their names either.
But I thought they had made up. I thought they were friends. Why is he calling him to threaten him at the end?
I think it was a joke.
Yeah, it wasn't funny. But then again, neither was any of
that. None of this movie was funny. I mean, he goes to the wrong place because he had a bad printout. His printer smudged or something.
Toner issues.
Toner, really? Terrible. Like, again, this is why I hate Netflix. They just dump this garbage on here, and I think I'm watching Cloverfield Paradox half the time. Like, I can't get excited about Netflix. Gray Man was probably the best thing I've seen Netflix in ages, which we didn't review. But I was like, oh, something. I was shocked how much I enjoyed that. I'm watching this. I'm like, this is torture. Torture for me. And being me, I have to finish it. And I know torture. Believe me. I sat through some movie with P. Isadora, Rock and Roll, something where these space aliens come to Earth. And they're doing like a Grease movie. If you give me a second, I will actually give you the name of the movie I watched. Terrible. I surprised Doug didn't make me watch it on Blu-ray. I don't understand, but these movies must make money because they keep making them. Like, you know, Kevin Hart keeps getting money. I just don't understand.
Well, he's popular. I mean, he makes a lot of movies with The Rock, and The Rock is popular.
Oh, please tell me we're going to have to do that film, aren't we?
Which one? The DC League of Super Pets or whatever?
Yes, I'm sure somebody's going to put it on the list.
Well, I will not put it on the list, but if it's on A-list, I will watch it.
Well, I have
totally
seen it.
I would totally put it on the list.
I know you are, just to annoy me. Now I can't even, here we go. Here's the film, The Voyage of the Rock Aliens. 1984.
Nice.
Okay, if I could make it through Voyage of the Rock Aliens, I could certainly make it through Man of Toronto. So that's it. I guess we got a short episode because we really got nothing. But I do have one thing left to discuss. Kevin, you now have a new storage locker I've been reading about.
Yes. Yes.
Would you like to discuss why we're moving back into storage?
All right. Well, at the start of the pandemic, I said I'm going to save some money and I'm going to move all the stuff in my storage locker into my apartment. I have a large apartment. It's a two-bedroom with a living room and a dining room and everything. So now here we are. It's a few years later, and I'm feeling very claustrophobic. The stuff is still here that I haven't sold, that I moved out of storage. There's, I started collecting Hot Toys just before the pandemic. So I have a lot of boxes around the apartment and things like that. So I decided, you know what, I'm going to get a 10x10. I'm going to move the stuff that I want to sell at shows back into storage because shows are starting up again and I can start getting the stuff in. And I can unclutter my apartment from Hot Toys boxes. So that's my goal right now, is to move all that stuff out and have more room. I can reclaim my second bedroom as a library. And then I can reclaim my dining room as a place that I can do some work in.
You're missing my favorite part of the story.
What's that?
When you went back to the storage locker, what happened?
Oh, they were like, oh, you're the comic book lounge guy. Kevin Boyd. And I'm like, yes. And they said, well, we missed you. You were a regular for years and years. And I'm like, okay.
So they were. That's my favorite part of the story.
It was like they knew who I was. The guy's like, I know exactly who you are. You were with us for many years. And I'm like, yeah, I was. And he goes, oh, and you run, you had a store and you worked for the conventions. And I'm like, yes, that's right. And actually, I met Scott Thompson in that office once.
Okay.
Kids in the hall.
I could tell you a side story that may listeners may or not find interesting. So at Christmas time, I get a lot of bottles of wine.
Yeah.
The funny thing is, I don't drink wine in any way. Don't enjoy it. Don't want to look at it. My wife enjoys white. Perfect. But I got bottles of red. Well, I don't drink red. I don't have a lot of friends that drink red. Whatever friends that did took a bottle every time they come. But I can only get rid of so many. So I was talking to a customer on my route on Friday, explaining to her. She's like, oh, I can trade you. So I gave her two bottles of red that I had left, and I got two bottles of white. So is this wrong, me giving away Christmas gifts I got that I was never going to use and would have never used them? So am I wrong here?
No, as long as you're not giving the wine back to the people who gave it to you.
No. Well, that's what my wife said. She said, no, I go, that is rude. When people are opening their door and it's minus 30 and going, Merry Christmas. And these are not like the cheap wine. I'm talking this stuff is all imports. It's got an import label on it from Spain, an import label on it from wherever else. I mean, I deliver a very affluent area. So, I mean, they're not giving me the $10 bottle of wine they bought at 7-Eleven. You know, I'm sure this stuff is good. Well, even funnier is I sit there and they hand me two beers, too, to go with it. They're like, we're not going to drink this. And I got into a whole beer conversation with the guy because he's like this. So, the funny thing is he asked me about a beer that I may or not have purchased on my holiday over the border. And the funny thing was, I may or may not have did a trade of this beer I may or may not have purchased. Hence, I can't get in trouble if it may or not have happened. So, oh, one other quick story, and then I'm going to finally be done. I was at my friend's place last night, who has a son, but he's living with his mom all summer. So he goes, do you want this? I'm like, what is it? Because you have kids. So I have a box of honeycomb, which I don't think I've ever eaten in my life. Is that right? Honeycomb cereal?
Mm-hmm. Honeycomb's
and a box. What?
Honeycomb's great. Yeah.
Okay, I've never had it. It's something like some kind of cookie, Chips Ahoy cereal.
Yeah.
I've never seen this in my life. I'm like, Chips Ahoy has cereal?
Chocolate chip cookies. You put milk on them.
Yeah, my daughter loved it. She ate it this morning. She's like, Dad, where'd you get this? And my buddy was throwing it out and said, here, do you want this when I throw it out? So I took it. So I thought you guys would find that funny. So I am going over the border. Like I said last episode, I still haven't gone, but I am going very, very soon. So my question is, Doug, before I go, I'm going to go to, oh, sorry, should I use the Canadian term? Tarjay. And I'm going to Walmart, the place you don't like. I'm not asking you what you buy there at those locations. Is there a certain confectionery product or something that I should buy that I can't get in Canada that you know of or that you recommend?
Not that I could think of.
Besides Cherry Coke.
Honest.
Cherry Coke Zero, I'm 100% buying.
I'll be honest. What I get this stuff. Polar Seltzer. Cranberry Lime.
We don't have it.
That's what I drink. So.
So I was just looking for it because whenever I watch these things on TikTok or Facebook videos, you guys have the biggest supermarkets I've ever seen in my life. That we don't have that in Canada. It just does not exist. A chip aisle that must have 150 different kind of chips.
Yes.
And I'm just sitting there going, how do people never leave the store? Like I'm there for like 2 hours just in the chip aisle going, What do I buy? But I did see these chips. Before we go, I got one last question. It's a three cheese Lay's chip. Have you had that one yet?
No, I have not.
So I'm going to probably buy, and I'm going to test them out on the show. So I'm going to save whatever I buy. Well, if I don't eat it ahead of time. But if I do, I'm going to bring all the packaging, and Doug can laugh at me. Crap, I found the States. Oh, sorry, I have one last story before I go. So if you follow me on Facebook, which you guys do, you know I write things I see on my route. Mm-hmm. And I post fish. Well, a friend of mine has started their own. Things I see in my route in Sudbury. I'm like, wait a second. That's my stick. So when I went to Montreal, I put things I see in Montreal and put up 79 photos just to prove a point. And that's all I got this week. Daniel has a new job. I just want everybody to know he is now moved out from being a cooler at the strip club to being the full-time dishwasher. So I guess that's a step up. He doesn't have to get naked anymore, get dollar coins shoved up in certain orifices. That probably was uncomfortable.
No.
So now he's a full-time dishwasher. So if they make it.
Simon posts pictures about seeing it.
Daniel gives you faith.
You got it. Bye.
Good night.